Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show.
It's the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. The Early Morning Late Show. Get your day started.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Thank you so much for inviting me into your home or your car or your camper. Wherever you are today, maybe it's on your smartphone. How cool is it that you can get the Faith Radio app, put it on the smartphone, and bam, there you have it. It's pretty nice. I want to start with a passage from Romans chapter 14, verse 8. It says, if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. That's a nice comforting verse. Well, I am so excited about my first guest. Dr. Everett Piper is the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and he's written a book called This Is Not a Daycare. Americans are really sick and tired of hearing about all the endless rioting and the controversy, especially on college campuses. Students refuse to learn anything that makes them uncomfortable. And too many educators and even parents are really failing to encourage the understanding of truths and absolutes. They don't want to hear that all lives matter or that there is a God-given difference between male and female. They'd rather hide with a coloring book in a taxpayer-provided safe space. And that has him with a different opinion about all of this. And there are shocking examples of this snowflake insanity where they demand safe spaces and they have trigger warnings. And this is at like universities like Yale and Brandeis, and this dangerous intolerance is something we're going to address with Dr. Piper in just a minute. Very excited about this book. And the book, once again, is called Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth. That alone has me very excited. His endorsements on this book are many, and we're going to bring him on in just a minute. It's 6 minutes after the hour, so stay tuned. Dr. Everett Piper is next.
We're sharing each day together.
The world is not helping our faith increase, but Faith Radio presents us with truths, and our soul needs nothing more than to have the truth presented on such a regular basis to encourage us, to lift us up, to let us know that we're not alone in the midst of our trials. So Faith Radio is a lifeline to me, and I know that confidently if people are seeking the truth, it's invaluable to just developing fellowship and communion with the Lord.
Thanks for being part of the family of Faith Radio.
I recently heard that we handle money either as a dam or a sprinkler. A dam stores up water, while a sprinkler, on the other hand, evenly distributes water across an entire area. Hi, this is Chuck Bentley with My Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Well, perhaps you're a dam, storing up and only allowing the extra to trickle off the top. But if you're a sprinkler, you intentionally spread your resources to bless a dry and thirsty land. So how can we give? Well, first, support your local church, then those serving in organizations that build the kingdom of God through local, inner city, and overseas missions. Involve your entire family. And don't forget your Christian radio station. Here are a few other ideas. You could treat someone to dinner, surprise a tired or needy friend with a gift card or babysitting, drive someone who is elderly or sick to the doctor, give of your own possessions to help young marrieds, single moms, or anyone you see struggling. Also, don't forget that you can donate cars or bicycles to some charities. Share your skills in tutoring, home, or auto repair. And always be on the lookout for ways you can serve your neighbors, and consider doing it anonymously. Money, time, words of encouragement, food, clothes, furniture, and service are all great ways of giving. The key is doing it with joy, not reluctantly or out of obligation, for God loves a cheerful giver. Ask Him how you can become a sprinkler that refreshes others. But don't try it on your own. You need to be connected to the source of the water as you're pouring it out to others. Crown's new online study helps you grow in your relationship with Christ and changes the way you see your money so you can be a blessing to others. In just 7 lessons, God can transform your life forever. Enroll at crown.org/online study.
Finding encouragement together.
About 4 years ago, I was going through a really rough time, and I actually was driving home, and I was crying, and I know God led me to turn my radio station, and I heard one of the speakers that you have, and I can tell you that that day, it changed my life, and I haven't turned my radio station back. I couldn't live without it.
It's more than information. It's transformation. Faith Radio.
Good morning. It's 10 minutes after the hour. Unfortunately, we're having a little bit of trouble connecting with Dr. Piper. He's the author of Not a Daycare, and he's gotten to be created quite a controversy with his bold stand, which I love. I don't use the word hero very often, but I use it with Dr. Everett Piper because he has made a stand, and he is the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and one of their identifying pillars, because they want students there to fully engage in the realms of these ideas, the pursuit of truth, the primacy of Christ, the priority of Scripture, and the practice of wisdom. Now, how cool is that? That's actually why you go to college, to actually learn that stuff. And I would agree that these four pillars for students creates optimal freedom, as he talks about in his book. And if you don't have to share the specifics of your faith to recognize the value of these pillars, and that is, you are not God, and truth does exist apart from your opinion. You may have an opinion, but so does 7 billion other people in this world. So it's important to know that you don't run the universe, okay?
Truth isn't based on my feeling?
No. It's not, Rebecca, Miss Rebecca.
What else could it possibly be based on, Bill?
Truth is revealed to us, not created by us.
That's not what I learned in college.
What did you learn in college?
Isn't that the question? I ask myself that every day when I get my student loan bill.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely a challenging place. I mean, we've been kind of thinking and praying a lot about this, the start of the school year for parents, for grandparents, for students out there, because it is a challenging place. It should be all the things that you're talking about. It should be the pursuit of truth and the pursuit of wisdom. Many times that's a little bit on the back burner in the college experience today. So can you imagine what the power of a student who is dedicated to those things going into any environment where they might find themselves, how much God could actually use them? Because God loves to give wisdom. Mm-hmm. That's one of his favorite gifts.
It is. I love the passage in James. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all.
Beautiful thing.
Without finding fault. Yes. So on college campuses across America, we see people who don't want any of these boundaries. They want freedom and complete freedom from any kind of pillars or posts or things, fences that go up. And David Horowitz calls this the tyranny of the gang. And he said that today universities strive to be really little more than just training ground for progressive malcontents, though they would never advertise that fact so boldly. And if you think that there is just too many trigger points on universities, or if you have experienced something and can jump into the conversation with us, as we're still trying to get Dr. Piper on the line, give me a call, 1-877-933-2484, 1-877-933-2484, or you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. So I'm just curious, Rebecca, as you think of the way in which the snowflake generation has taken over college campuses, and we create these safe spaces where you go off into a room where the lights are low and you color or something like that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But at the price of college education, at some of these schools like Yale and Brandeis, and I think, you pay $65,000 a year. And then when you get stressed out, you go color?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Is that really going to train and equip students to become functional adults?
Well, I had a really interesting conversation recently about how we deal with challenge. And it was a look at this generation, right? This, well, the millennial generation, because now we've got Z, I think, is what they're called coming up next. We'll call them that until we come up with something more creative.
Okay.
But in the millennial generation, of which I am a part, we have some difficulty sometimes dealing with challenges. And really, there's two approaches to challenges. That's kind of what we're discussing in this collegiate atmosphere, is whether or not we allow things that challenge our own pre-existing perspective. What do we do with that? And the solution on some campuses has been, well, we just don't allow anything that might challenge a student, make them uncomfortable, push them to think, and to, because that's where the growing comes from, in my perspective.
Yeah.
So there's really two ways to approach challenge. One is to say, well, this is new. This is maybe outside of what I can do or what I can handle right now, but it's an opportunity to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And the other way to approach it is to say, well, I'm not enough for that, so I'm going to reject it. I'm going to run away. I'm going to hide, or I'm going to pretend. And none of those things actually result in growing and maturing the way it would if you were honest about the challenge and say, okay, well, I'm going to see what I can deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a Christian, you could say, well, I can pray that God will help me to grow, to meet this challenge, help me understand and consider it, and help me apply truth to it. But if you've already rejected the notion of truth, then anything that you have to lean on that's solid only comes from your opinion. It only comes from your feelings and your identity. So it's hard to face that challenge and not feel personally attacked. And that, I think, is some of the struggle, even as a member of this generation, that we see. And those are the types of things that I hope our next generation will be better equipped to handle as well. And I haven't lost hope for millennials. We've got, God is not finished with us yet. He's got a lot of opportunity for us.
Indeed.
Too.
All right, we'll take a little break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation about the devastating consequences of abandoning truth with or without Dr. Piper.
Well, my bills are getting higher and my paycheck is getting lighter, but I'll take it a day at a time. First of the month keeps it coming up much too much, but I'll make it a day at a time.
Good morning. It's 19 minutes after the hour. We are talking about Dr. Everett Piper's book, Not a Daycare, sans Dr. Everett Piper. Unfortunately, we're still trying to get him on the line, but he may or may not be able to make it today. But he's got a very interesting book called Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth. And he talks about Richard Weaver reminded us 70 years ago in his book of the same name, Ideas Have Consequences. The ideas that dominate higher education are bankrupt and the consequences are dire. Universities are no longer interested in pursuing truth. Indeed, they often deny that there is such a thing as truth. Instead, they celebrate tolerance, a very limited tolerance, as it turns out, as they are intolerant of anyone who disagrees with them. And so today, college campuses are bastions of speech codes and ideological conformity. Faculty and students alike are more interested in identifying trigger warnings than they are in pursuing truth. For decades, our schools have taught that all morality is relative. They have promoted the cultural Marxist position that race, sex, and class are what matters. They have derided America, Western civilization, and Christianity as deeply flawed and deeply oppressive. That's a comment that Dr. Everett Piper made in his book called Not a Daycare. And, you know, there's probably parents out there sitting there going, I'm getting more concerned by the minute because I've got a student headed off to school and what is going to happen. And if you're in a slightly panicked position, listen up because he's got some advice for you. And here it is. Stop putting them on the wrong train. He said, parents, let me be blunt. Stop sending your kids off to institutions that teach the narcissistic postmodern pablum of moral nihilism, self-actualization and the multicultural. Encourage your sons and daughters to live in fantasy land instead of reality. So this is a university.
That's a sentence.
That
That's
university quite a sentence. President that uses big words and knows how to use them. So I guess that's parents take this very seriously. When you choose higher education for your 18-year-old son or daughter, ideas matter and ideas have consequences. And of course, he says the orientation process is that really a great indicator for determining the priorities of a college. I suppose you can find out right away. Orientation is usually a 2 or 3 day process where the students and they show up with mom and dad and the bags get unpacked and everybody kind of celebrates and they're given a schedule of what to do. And those first few days are usually intentionally designed to keep the student busy so that student won't get homesick. So it's often when you drop your kids off at school and you've just spent 18 years of, you know, your life with them. So training up your son or daughter in the way they should go when they are old will not depart. That's pretty key.
Oh, I definitely think so. And I think having, above all, a relationship where you can be honest with one another so that when students face those challenges, because you're not going to be able to be with them in some times of maybe small crisis where they're facing moral dilemma Yep. or confronted with things they're unfamiliar with or just haven't been put in those situations before, it can be a challenge and it's an opportunity to grow. But you can help be with them if you're a parent or a grandparent, if you've established that relationship where instead of trying to say, well, I can't talk to mom and dad about that, they know that they can.
Yeah.
They know that you will love them and help them because you have their best interests at heart.
Dr. Piper says, why in the world would you leave your child at a school that takes great pride in tearing the heart, mind, and soul out of your kid in the first few seconds as you're driving away? So there is a lot of wisdom in this book, and I would highly recommend it. The book is called Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth. And Rebecca, we see this all over. It's just not university
right.
and college campuses. It's every day in the workplace. Mm-hmm. It's every day in stores and in anywhere you go, we're faced with the fallout of abandoning truth.
Definitely.
And we see it all around it.
And so, when you were reading that passage, it reminded me of two things. Number one, a quote from J.K. Can't even talk this morning.
Right.
So sorry. G.K. Chesterton. There we go. He said that when you remove the big laws, you don't get freedom. You get the tyranny of the small laws. You get a lot of little things. And he was talking about the, in that passage, the proliferation of more regulation and more policy and all these little subdivisions of rules we have to follow now. And it's because we've abandoned the big stuff, like don't lie, love one another as you love yourself, worship God with all your heart, follow God's laws. There's not that many of them when you come down to it. Adopt his vision of the truth. Well, if we reject that, then we have to come up with all these other little more circumstantial or situational types of ethics. And nobody can follow all those. So we're always at one another's throats because we've tossed aside the big principles that allow us to come together in unity and actually allow us more freedom. So that was one thought. And the other thought is...
You have another, don't you?
Well, not if we don't have time.
Well, I'll go get another cup of coffee. You go ahead.
I think there's such opportunity, like our conversation with Dwight Nordstrom just suggested. If we can present the practical application of truth, why it's important to tell the truth. He was saying in Chinese culture, they're suffering somewhat from a lack of trust. If you've never been taught that it's wrong to lie, you know, if you're getting practical benefit mm-hmm. from not telling the truth, then why not? I mean, couldn't it be okay for me to lie? Well, that's a problem for business. It doesn't help you be more productive. And he, through Christian, just living out the way of Christ, is showing a better way. And there are practical benefits for that, not just in your own heart, but in their lives and their families and their professional capacity. That is so encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
What God's way does work and the truth does
it
work.
It does work. Yes. And I think about things like microaggressions. You have to learn about that. You can't say to someone on campus, where are you from? If they're from maybe someplace other than the United States, because that could be considered aggressive. Huh, I give up. All right, it's 27 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and be back. Good morning. It's half past the hour. We're going to take a little break for news. Next up, we've got Ron Deal from Family Life Blended. He's got a series called Reducing Cholesterol in the Heart of Your Marriage. That will be interesting, and we're going to learn how to listen with the intent to understand. Be back in a minute.
On my makeup, I say a little prayer for you.
Minutes until the top of the hour, we need to use our words wisely. What we say and really how we say it has such tremendous power. Radio host and author David Chadwick says we need to be mindful of what we say to our spouse. We should seek to build them up.
Use your words wisely. And I do give some phrases that I've learned through the years that honor Marilyn. Things like, I'm honored to be your husband. I love you more than you love me. She always says, oh, no, you don't. And we get into one of those friendly, wonderful arguments that, you know, I think honors one another. Then thank you for all you do for me. I never want to take you for granted is another one. Here's one that I always love to say to her. I got the better end of the deal. Thank you for saying yes. So I give a good number of the phrases I use, and I really do believe life and death is in the tongue in accordance with Proverbs 18:21, and you can use your words either to build up or to tear down. And when you find words of honor that give life to the other, they do indeed bless the other person in the marriage.
That's some cotton candy right there. All right, that was David Chadwick and his radio host and author. You can head over to myfaithradio.com, check it out, type in David Chadwick, or ways to honor your wife that should get you to the interview, we hope. We'll take a little break, and when we come back, we've got Ron Deal from A Blended Life Family in just a minute.
There's rarely a good time to be faced with a crisis. And for parents with out-of-control teens, the day-to-day struggle can drain every ounce of emotional energy. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. If you're dealing with a teen who's caught in the spin cycle, let me give you a few tips for preventing emotional burnout. First, take a break. Spend some time away from the stress. Something as simple as lunch with a friend can leave you feeling energized and refreshed. Second, pull out some old photos or home videos and remember the good old days when things were innocent and fun. Let the memories restore you. And finally, even though you might feel alone, rest assured you are not alone. God knows, and He's not finished with your teen.
For more parenting tips from Mark Gregston, go to parentingtodaysteens.org. That's parentingtodaysteens.org.
Good morning. 20 minutes until the top of the hour. Ron Deal is my guest. He's coming to us via Skype from Family Life Blended. Ron is a regular guest of the show. Always love having him on. If you are in a blended family and you want to give us a call and ask Ron a question, you can do it. 1-877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. And we'll get you on the air. Or if you want to email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, I'll ask him the question for you. You can stay anonymous. Ron, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Bill. It's good to be back with you.
Thank you. Now, you've got a kind of a series on reducing cholesterol in the heart of your marriage. I love this. Do say more. I want to talk about listening with the intent to understand.
You know, it's amazing to me how much Scripture talks about listening and the importance of that. We at Family Life at our Weekend to Remember Marriage Conference spend a lot of time talking about communication and resolving conflict in marriage, and listening is a huge part of that whole process. A couple of familiar passages just to remind us of what Scripture has to say. James 1:19, everyone should be, listen to this, quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, because anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Listen to the little equation there, Bill. You know, quick to listen, slow to speak. Now, man, I don't know about you, but I got something to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if I'm talking, if this is my wife, this is my children, if this is a coworker, in particular, people that we love and are closest to us, sometimes our filters go down. You know, with a coworker, I might be slower to speak, but if it's my wife, I'm quicker to speak. That's my natural inclination. And there's some great wisdom in this. All right, hold back. In particular, if there's irritation, conflict, anger kind of seeding underneath the communication, I really need to put a rein on my tongue at that point and hold it in, because when I lead with anger, right, that just gets in the way of our usness. And so great wisdom there in James 1:19. One more scripture passage.
Please.
Proverbs 18:2. Listen to this. You know, Proverbs spends so much time talking about the difference between wise people and foolish people. And here it is again.
I think we lost him. Hopefully we can get him back. And I think in the meantime, if I can be fast enough here with my Bible, I can actually get us to Proverbs 18:2 and fill in these blanks for him. Let's see here. Proverbs 18:2 says... It says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. I think that's something that we should all memorize because, as I often say, we live in a world of 7 billion people, and I don't think we need another opinion. We need God's truth. We need the Word of God in our lives that can give us guidance and instruction. Rana, you might be back. Are you back?
About that. Not sure what happened.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what happened either. But I, when you were setting up Proverbs 18:2 and you went away, I read it. So I'll give it one more time. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in hearing their own opinions.
Yeah. So isn't this a good illustration of not being able to listen when the call drops?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there we are. Like, you know, when life gets in this case, it's the electronics that get in the way. But when my heart attitude gets in the way of me listening, Proverbs calls me a fool. You know, I want to make my point. I want to be heard. I want you to understand me. Well, that's a foolish attitude that just leads into a place of selfishness and pride. But listening, listen to that. Listening is a function of humility. It says, I value you and I value what you have to say, and I'm going to try to understand it as best I can. But before I can get to the logistics of listening well, my heart has to be in the right place to say, you know, it's not just my opinion that matters here. Your opinion matters. And, you know, that is a huge thing. I can tell you, as I've spent close to 30 years doing marriage and family education, training, and therapy. And I've often wondered, what's the difference between people who sit in a class and learn communication skills and walk out and use them, put them into practice, take them into life, versus the people who can sit in a class, practice, rehearse. You know, I've coached couples. Yeah, that's it. You got it. And they walk out of the room and they never use it in real life. I've often thought, what's the difference there? And I've really come down to this heart issue. If, you know, humility helps us take it into practice. A person who is prideful in their core, you know, my opinion is what matters, will not be a good listener. They'll never do this. And, you know, Proverbs makes it clear, that's a fool, and
right,
you don't want to be that person.
You know, Ron, I think it was Stephen Covey in his book said, seek first to understand, then to be understood. So a good listener might seek first to understand.
Exactly. And Covey has just capitalized on, you know, all the truths of scripture here. And that is a really good principle of how you actually put this into practice. If you'll seek first, key word there is first. If I'm, my job is to understand you before I try to respond and react. And think about that just from a, you know, if you break it down, communication from one person to another, how does this exchange flow? It makes so much sense to say, I need to understand you before I start talking, because way too many times we make the mistake. And here's one of the practical things I wanted to talk about today. We make assumptions. Oh, I did this, you know, not too long ago, and it was very innocent. You know, sometimes we have evil in our hearts, but most of the time it's pretty innocent. My wife started to tell me something about her day.
And in my head, without even thinking about it, I ran ahead of where she was going. I assumed I knew what she was saying and the implications of what it meant. And so my response to her was one of, I was talking about, well, the end event. So at the end of the day, here's where we need to be, and here's my thoughts about that. And I totally missed what she was trying to say because I made an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, now I've added irritation to the equation because she's going, you're not listening to me, right? And mm-hmm. she's not feeling valued. She's not feeling important to me because I'm skipping over her. That's what I'm saying. When I make assumptions, I'm skipping over her. And that's irritating. That hurts her feelings. Well, now I got to clean up that mess so that we can get back to the point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So making assumptions just is it's an easy but dangerous thing to do. Check your assumptions at the door. That's what
Love
we
it.
Should try to do.
Love it. Ron, let me take a break. And when I come back, I want to continue the conversation about listening and giving people the gift of understanding. And when you do that, you've really opened up somebody's heart. It's 14 minutes until the top of the hour. I'm speaking to Ron Deal. Be back in a minute. Good morning. 11 minutes until the top of the hour. I'm speaking to Ron Deal from Family Life Blended. We're talking about reducing cholesterol in the heart of your marriage and listening with the intent to understand. Ron, you know, it's really great to give someone the gift of understanding. And I think to do that, you sometimes have to suspend some of your history with the person just to let them be heard and understood. And just to say, you know, I understand where you're going, where you're from, without being too tough on them. Is that fair to do, or is that foolish?
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes history does inform our listening, and we should certainly learn from the past. And so that's absolutely correct. And at the same time, we have to be careful because history creates assumptions, as we were just talking before mm-hmm. the break. And that can color how we hear somebody now. You know, a good illustration is when my spouse changes something, let's say, you know, God's working in her heart around some aspect of her life, and she makes some changes in who she is, how she carries herself, how she communicates with me. Well, years of history will lead me to assume I know what's coming next, what her attitude's going to be, and what I need to be prepared for in terms of maybe protecting myself. Defensiveness is one of my quick postures. And my defensiveness gets completely in the way of me hearing, oh, she's changed. Oh, she's growing in some way. Oh, she's trying to put on the fruits of the Spirit in some new way. But I didn't give her the credit. I didn't give her the opportunity to play that out because I jumped ahead in my assumption and started treating her as if she was still the same old person.
Mm.
You know, that's what assumptions, that's when they get in the way of growth and intimacy in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Interesting point. You know, I saw on the internet last night this woman talking about, she's a street performer, and I think she dresses up as like an 8-foot bride and has her face painted white, and she holds out little daisies to people. And she said, I make eye contact with people. And she said, people start to tear up. And I've had so many people say, no one notices me. No one looks me in the eye.
Wow.
And she says, I have that moment of connection with people. And she says it's so wildly real for them because they're mm-hmm. actually getting eye contact from somebody on the street. And well, I was just going back to what you were talking about, letting your wife process with her words, and you're racing to the conclusion as to what they might be. And it's important to let that processing unfold. And for men in particular, sometimes that's a hard thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah. And again, everyday listening conversation, we don't have to work very hard because life pretty much flows as we expect. But then every once in a while, when you feel that little hiccup and you go, wait a minute, somehow we got off, that's when you just need to kind of get intentional about listening. And one of the other skills that I think this woman you're talking about illustrates very well is listening beneath the words of the person you're talking to. And that takes work, all right? I mean, there's nothing shy of effort behind this. If I'm listening beneath your words, I'm seeing you really well. Like that woman who's making eye contact, I am really seeing you mm-hmm. very well, and you're feeling being seen and being known. When we do that with listening, it is an powerful motivator towards closeness and intimacy and trust. So let me illustrate what that is. If my wife is talking about something, maybe a concern that she's having in her life, and she never uses a feeling word, but clearly there's feelings involved. She never really specifically says, this is my need in this situation, but clearly there's a need in there somewhere. If I try to listen beneath her words and take a stab at it, you know, with a tentativeness, I can say, man, it sounds like you're really, that hurts you when your coworker did that. Well, now I'm getting at how it felt to her. She never said that it hurt her, but I think that's the implication of what she's telling me. And if I pull that out, all of a sudden she feels seen. She feels like, wait a minute, Ron is with me. He is really here. He really cares about what this means to me. And so if I say, it sounds like you were hurt by what they said, and she says, yeah. And what'll happen is she'll take that another step. She'll tell me about what hurt means. And if hurt is not accurate, she'll define it and clarify it for me. And now I have a better sense of what she was feeling. Mm-hmm. And then if I say, so your need in all of this is for her to be more trustworthy in how she deals with you. Now I'm getting at the point. Like, this is the whole point of the conversation. All of that says to her, I value you. I care about you. I want to know what's going on underneath the surface. And she feels closer to me, and our relationship has just taken a notch deeper in terms of depth and mm-hmm. intimacy. That is a skill. Let me tell you, I went to graduate school back in the early 90s to become a family therapist, and I didn't know how to do any of this. I had to work at it. I would sit on video with somebody and practice and then watch myself. some of us are just naturally better at this than others, but listening with that sort of depth definitely requires effort.
Mm-hmm. And Ron, there's a lot of loneliness in marriages, isn't there?
Yeah.
And maybe for this very reason.
For this very reason. You know, again, if you just kind of stay on the surface and never really try to get to what's the point, what's their need in this, what's the emotion wrapped up in this, then you don't really see the other person for everything that they are, and they don't felt seen, and you don't. You know, the biblical word for this is yada, which means to know, mm-hmm. that you know somebody with more depth and intimacy. That term is used in terms of God knowing us. It's used in terms of sexual intimacy. It's used in terms of a deep love and understanding for one another. If you're never known, then you can just feel like you're in a marriage but isolated. Listening is one of the skills that helps us know each other better.
Mm-hmm. So we've just got less than a minute, Ron. Let me ask you this quick question. So maybe some damage has been done. Maybe a spouse hasn't listened well. What's the first thing they can say to try to build a bridge?
Apologize. I mean, own it. Hey, listen, I'm recognizing that I've not been a good listener in the past, and I get defensive, and I run over you, and I make assumptions, and I'm now more aware than ever that that's something I have done and can do. And I just want you to know I'm going to try not to do that. Now, I need your help. I ask for your patience. I may need your forgiveness. But I'm going to work on this.
Mm, I like
it. And that, yeah, you got to start there, because if the other person doesn't hear you say that, then their assumptions are going to be that you're the same old person.
Mm-hmm. Ron, where do we go to the website? Is it familylifeblended.com?
Yeah, well, familylife.com is the best place to start. That's the Ministry of Family Life. You will find the Blended Family Ministry within that, but you can go to familylife.com, learn about conference events and resources and tools for churches.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ron Deal. Have a great day.
All right. God bless.
Yeah, God bless you. It is 3 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a very short break and be back to close out the show. All right, this caught my attention. A group of kids on the west side of Detroit have a new hero to look up to thanks to police officer Darren Weathers taking a break to play basketball with him on Friday. Weathers grew up on the Detroit's east side and says as a kid, whenever police came to his neighborhood, he'd go back inside and stay away. He says he decided to stop and shoot hoops with the kids. When he asked why they were playing basketball with a volleyball, he said, because all of the basketballs keep getting stolen. What a good guy. That wraps up the show. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.